Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Bethany Watson, your cold hands having, new sunglasses lovin'. My subtle fake eyelashes are so subtle, it somehow looks like I have fewer eyelashes, friend.
And I'm Kathleen Haney, your using TikTok as my personal trainer, owner of a new fancy milk frother. I've been craving tuna fish sandwiches for breakfast, and it's weird but delicious, friend.
And every week, Kathleen and I get together to discuss our lives and what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. Kathleen, what are you talking about this week?
This week, I am talking about the confusing things that Americans do that people in other countries are like, what?
This is amazing. I love things where I'm forced to analyze my own life, and I realize that, like, what seems normal to me certainly isn't normal.
I know. What's on your plate this week, Bethany?
I am talking about this fascinating book I found at a used bookstore.
Oh.
By an author named Henri Gamache, who I am learning is not even a real person. It is called The Master Key to Occult Secrets.
Oh.
And basically what it does is it goes through all of these different cultures and the spells they tried to do. Like, everyone's trying to do love spells no matter where you're from.
Yeah.
All of the different beliefs they had. And it's going to be like a fun, you know, a fun walk through, like, some things that people through the ages have tried to do.
Like, do you ever think very deeply about Groundhog's Day? Does that have occult origins?
I mean, here's the thing.
Yeah.
So I've said this before. I'll say it again. Uh-huh. A lot of people, when they hear the word occult, they automatically think Satanism.
No.
But it's not. So the definition of occult is beliefs and practices which generally fall outside the scope of religion and science.
Yeah.
So it's not scientific belief. It's not religious belief. It's outside of that.
Uh-huh.
So it's a cult. It also means knowledge of the hidden, right?
Mm.
So in that vein, Groundhog Day is definitely a cult.
Yeah.
Because it is a belief that this animal has the power to either dictate and predict the weather.
It is so ridiculous when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Like, Americans, on February 2nd, we wake up and we're like, did the groundhog see a shadow?
Yeah, that's totally an occult belief. So I'm gonna talk about that. And by the way, I'm really excited because I bought this book for $7.
Oh.
And I went online just to research it a little bit,
uh-huh.
and it was selling for $95.
Oh, Bethany, you better sell it when you're done.
I mean, I've been underlining things, so I don't know if people will want it. And it does have, like, an oil stain on the front. Maybe someone used it under their car.
You know, there's a thing that people like about, like, stains and underlines when they buy used books. It means it's authentic.
It means it's been loved.
Yeah.
So, Kathleen, I have to tell you about when we came in this morning, I was like, I have a story for you.
Yeah.
So this isn't, like, a crazy wild story, but it is very indicative of who I am and what my neighborhood is.
Okay.
So I live in a neighborhood that is known for being both family friendly.
Yes.
And also a lot of woo-woo white people.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I was walking to record this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of Corona, there have been so many stores, small stores that have shut down. And
yeah.
so they're starting to sell these spaces to new owners.
Good.
So there's a storefront opening on my path to here,
mm-hmm.
and it is called, I have to give it a fake name because I don't want to blow up the spot, but it is called something in the vein of Divine Child of Rain. Okay, like Divine Star Baby.
Yeah.
Okay, uh-huh. like a thing like that.
Yeah.
And as I'm passing it, a tiny, nice-looking white lady
uh-huh.
wearing high-waisted mom jeans
oh.
with a very nice haircut
yeah.
is opening the store for two burly workmen who are probably going to start installing cabinets and all of this stuff. And I walk by the store and I think to myself, that is exactly the kind of store I would expect to open in my neighborhood.
Yep.
Opened by the exact type of person I would imagine opens this store.
Yes.
A tiny, good-looking white lady.
Yep.
In her 30s.
Her husband or wife, you know.
Whoever.
Whomever she's married to. Her partner is probably a hedge fund person.
Absolutely.
And
she probably started this business with $5 in her pocket and $100,000 in her trust fund.
Yeah, but
So I texted Dennis immediately.
Yeah.
And I said, FYI, there's a new store opening in my neighborhood called Divine Star Child. Do what you will with that.
Yes.
And he, you know, LOL'd. And he said, you're going to go there, aren't you? And I said, absolutely. Because because it is stupid and it is a stereotype, but I also am fully aware of who I am as a person.
Yes.
And as a white lady in her 30s, I will be going to this store to buy my supplies for all of the things I'm going to be doing that are woo-woo.
You know what, Bethany? I think that it's all time that no matter what age you are, that we all embrace our woman in her 30s attitude.
I am a stereotype of myself, and I know this.
Yeah.
But this doesn't mean that I don't see it and that I can't make fun of it.
Yeah.
Because it is such a stereotype.
I went tulip picking with the girls from my book club this weekend, and we've all been texting each other updates on how our tulips are holding up.
Of course you have. Of course you have.
And this morning, my friend was like, oh, I'm getting ready to press this one because I have a flower press, because that's where I am in my life now.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? I would like to come over and use your flower press.
I thought a flower press was just a Bible where you shove your flowers in it and slam the Bible.
Apparently they make machines that they sell on, I don't know, Slamazon, that where you actually, like, you put your flower in it and it's the right conditions for the perfect pressed flower.
Of course.
But so she gets flowers from her partner for, you know, different occasions.
Yeah.
And then she presses them and then she puts them in these beautiful gold glass frames that hang on the wall. The frame is totally transparent, so you just see the flower.
Yeah.
Bethany, I told her, I said, I still have my corsage from prom.
Oh my God, press it.
I also have my underwear from prom.
Why do you have your underwear, Kathleen?
I'm going to press them together.
Question.
And frame them.
Do you still have your underwear from prom, as in you still wear them and they're in rotation, or are they saved with their corsage?
Because they were my fancy, sexy underwear for a long time. I didn't often wear them, so they're still in pretty good condition.
But they're like in your underwear drawer.
They're in my underwear drawer.
Okay, they're not like in a shadow box.
No.
Okay.
No, but I am going to press them with my corsage,
Kathleen.
My underwear with a white rose. Joke's on everybody who looks at it, because I was a whore way before prom. Way before.
Where will you hang this?
In my entryway.
Of course. Look, I mean, if it's a thing you love, press it. We all have our thing. I didn't even realize flower pressers were a thing.
What was the last thing that you bought? Something sort of like you didn't really need it, that really indicates that you are a stereotype of a woman in her 30s.
Sage. Mm-hmm. I have so much sage. Like, I don't sage my house that often. It's also not something that is in my ethnic tradition.
Yeah.
It's just something that, you know, white people have picked up and love.
Yeah, because they sell it at stores like Divine Sisterhood of the Birth Moon Child.
Of course. And by the way, that's what I'm also going to call the store from now on. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's going to be like a food store or if it's,
They're probably going to sell moon juice powder.
Kathleen.
Like stuff that you would see on the Goop website.
Last bonus. We just went off and talked about a completely different podcast from a completely different podcast distributor. We just talked about the Maintenance Phase podcast for 5 minutes.
We love Maintenance Phase.
We love them.
Yeah.
We get no bonus incentive for talking about them. But I just listened to their moon juice, moon powder episode.
Yeah, yeah.
And I remember when you and I were working at our previous job and someone came in with all of their moon powder products and like gave them to us.
Yeah. There was one that was going to make you real horny.
Yes. I found sex dust still in my apartment yesterday.
That was years ago.
I know. I threw it away because I was like, that's just mushroom powder and it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably, it's straight mushroom powder.
Yeah.
But they're like, oh, it'll make your vagina all lubed up and ready to do it.
And it's like, That stuff is so expensive.
I know.
Like a year's supply of the moon juices, like probiotics, is like $800 or something.
Stupid.
It's insane.
It's so silly. I always wonder what Gwyneth Paltrow's vagina candle smells like.
I thought that was a joke.
No, Bethany, it's real. She does sell a candle. This candle smells like a vagina.
Is it actually supposed to, or is it like a LOL, I named it that, but really it smells like rose?
Like a vagina. I'm pretty sure it smells like rose. Let's see. What does it smell like?
I mean, no shame. I don't want to smell that in a candle.
Speaking of candles and things that women do in their 30s, I took a candle making class 2 weeks ago.
You and I, stereotypes. You're the stereotype of like the one who like has time and disposable income. And I'm the one of the stereotype who's like a witch. I'm like, I need this store that I'm making fun of to get all of my potions.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I learned that I never need to take a candle making class ever again. First of all, I didn't have fun because you have to go up and you have to pick your scent.
Sure.
And they don't give you a combination of what might smell good together.
Okay.
They're like, you do you type thing.
Oh.
Which I appreciate, but I made just the most atrocious smelling candles. And then you go and you smell everything and you're nose blind.
Yes.
So by the time that you like have to choose your flavors, you're like, I have no idea. Let's just put champagne and tangerine together.
They don't give you coffee beans to cleanse the palate?
No, they don't. One of the flavors was coffee. I almost made you a straight up coffee flavored candle.
I would have burned the hell out of that candle.
I really regret at this point not doing that because I did flavors that smell like ass.
Gwyneth Paltrow probably has that candle coming up next.
So this is what the vagina candle smells like. The description on the website says, with a funny, gorgeous, sexy, and beautifully unexpected scent, this candle, made with citrusy bergamot and cedar absolutes, juxtaposed with damask rose, ambrette seed, to put us in a mind of fantasy, seduction, and sophisticated warmth. I don't know what any of those words mean.
I don't know what that means. So,
nope.
All right. Mm-hmm. How much are they charging for that?
That is $75.
Oh, no.
Okay.
That's awful.
I'm here to tell you, though, Bethany, you need to stop burning the cheap candles that you buy at like TJ Maxx and stuff.
Yeah.
If you're going to burn candles, which you shouldn't because it's a carcinogen, you should buy the more expensive candles. And you need to do your research, gentle listener. Hit the googs. There's one specific chemical that's in cheap candles that makes them shelf stable for years and years.
Yeah.
That's not in expensive candles. And that ingredient will give you a headache.
That I do enjoy that this is the hill you're going to die on with me. Because every time we talk about candles, you're like, and Bethany, by the way, stop burning your candles. And I'm like, no. And then I flash my Zippo.
Oh, you know what, Bethany? You can go shove it with your sage and your whatever. And I'm going to burn what cleanses my home palate, which is a handful of spaghetti.
You can't burn spaghetti.
I'm just going to set spaghetti on fire and wave it around the room.
That doesn't sound useful, but it's probably about as useful as the other stuff I do.
If you're scrambling to get a last-minute Mother's Day gift and you want to get your mom something as beautiful and as classic as she is, Orate New York is here to save the day with their high-quality, affordable, fine jewelry, and they're doing free overnight shipping, so you better get on that.
Kathleen, you were just telling me off mic about the Orate necklace that you and your mom both have, and I forgot about that kind of jewelry purchase, the kind of purchase where it's like, we're both going to get this thing, we're all going to get this thing, as a symbol of our, you know, connection to each other. I love that idea.
It can be sweet, but if your mom sucks, just get something for yourself. I'm also obsessed with this little gold white diamond ring that I have.
Ooh.
I put that thing through the ringer, pun intended, but it's just as beautiful and as perfect as the day that I opened the box.
Look, if you haven't heard of Orate before, they are a fine jewelry brand founded by women for women. You can get pieces that range from classic to statement to completely original. They make the jewelry you've always wanted but could never find. It was made by women who were wearing really expensive jewelry and then looked down and saw that there was a green ring around their finger made from this supposedly high quality jewelry. And they were like, you know what? This is dumb. We should be able to get good jewelry without paying insane prices.
And all of Orate's pieces come with a lifetime warranty because they know that it lasts.
I also love this really delicate ring I have of theirs. It's a delicate gold band with a little circle on top that just says B. And I love it because it's simple. I can wear it every single day and it goes with anything. So for 20% off your first Orate purchase, go to oratenewyork.com/taste and use the promo code TASTE.
That's 20% off with no minimum spend. And they really have discounts as high as 20% off. So we encourage you to shop now while it's still going on.
This is the best offer out there, and it's exclusively for Acquired Taste listeners. So once again, go to AURATENewYork.com/taste and use the promo code TASTE to get 20% off.
So, confusing things that Americans do that people in other countries go, what?
We assume everyone speaks English.
that is true. And I try as much as I can to learn key phrases before I travel, but yeah. I don't have a brain for it. I don't.
I think it also is like, if you're not going to immerse yourself, it's going to be pretty hard to pick up on stuff.
So number one, drinking coffee on the go.
Oh.
Other countries, they're no to-go cups at coffee shops.
You sit, you enjoy it, you leave.
And I understand that. But sometimes if you're a person who likes to run late, like myself...
I like how you've turned it into a positive and a choice.
I like to drink coffee on the go. But here's my thing. I also don't always drink coffee quickly. So if I am sitting down and drinking it, I want to be able to take it with me if I'm going someplace else after.
Well, and I think that's probably the point of not taking it is you're forced to then sit and enjoy it, especially if it's hot, which I'm guessing it is because, you know, a lot of places don't do iced coffee.
Yeah.
You're forced to take a moment and breathe.
So there's this thing where people think that coffee in to-go mugs doesn't taste as good as coffee in cups. Like, where do you prefer to drink your coffee? On the go or at home?
On the go.
Me too.
Because I feel like it is, like it's a companion.
Yes.
And it's like a treat and I'm actually enjoying it more because I'm doing something that I love as I'm doing something that I dislike, which is like going outside.
I love drinking coffee when I'm walking somewhere.
Yeah.
I love drinking coffee in the car.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I think it makes me feel like a grown up.
It totally does.
Right?
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're sitting there because I almost prefer to drink it on the go.
Yeah, totally. Me too.
And you and I might be alone in this because according to eatthis.com, more people prefer drinking it at home from a mug because then you get like the whole smelling the coffee experience.
Oh, that makes sense. You don't have a lid on it.
You don't have a lid.
Oh, you know what? I haven't thought of that.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because I put so much coffee creamer in my coffee, I don't get the coffee scent.
Yeah.
I get the chocolate scent.
Well, there's that too.
Which I'm happy about.
So I've been waking up early and going to the gym in my building, and I've been doing this strange thing where I put my coffee in a mug to go downstairs, and I meet my friend, and we work out together, and I get on the, I don't know, what's the one that makes you look like you're a Giselle?
A Giselle. You're walking the runway. A elliptical.
Elliptical.
Yeah.
I get on the elliptical with my hot coffee, and I work out, and I drink my hot coffee.
Is it in a mug or like a to-go mug?
It's in a to-go
mug. Okay, so I was like picturing you sloshing coffee everywhere.
If you had told me this 2 weeks ago, that this would have become part of my morning routine, I would have been like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
I need something cold when I'm on the elliptical. There is something about warming up my body while also drinking something warm that is very therapeutic.
That's so interesting you say that. So when I was when I lived in Minneapolis, I worked at a Starbucks that was almost entirely the customer base was Somali.
Yeah.
And in the summertime when it was super, super hot, they would insist on drinking coffee, like hot coffee. And we would say, like, doesn't that make you even hotter? And they would say, no.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. And That was the first time I'd ever heard of like drink hot coffee when it's hot out.
Yeah.
But now you're saying when your body is heating up, also drink hot coffee.
It's wonderful during my workout to take a sip of coffee. My sister-in-law, her mother is Welsh. And she says that when it's hot out, her mother makes herself a hot cup of tea to cool down.
It sounds like something my grandma used to say, which is it's nice when it rains because it dries everything out. Like, what? It sort of makes sense, but it doesn't.
That doesn't make any sense. No, I guess it does. When it rains, it cools things down and then things can...
Like, cleans everything off and then it dries it up.
Yeah, because it's less muggy.
Yeah.
Maybe?
I think that's what she means.
As opposed to when it's, like, just about to rain?
Maybe.
I get it.
But it's, like, it makes sense until you think about it and then it ceases to make sense.
Okay, the next thing that Americans do that confuse everybody else. Giving a thumbs up.
Why?
It confuses other countries because to us it's an affirming gesture. Like, yeah. Yay, you're doing a good job. But in places like Australia, Greece, and the Middle East, it's akin to putting up the middle finger.
It seems like it should be.
Yeah, yeah.
It that does make sense. A thumb, a lot of things happen with thumbs to enemies that I feel like aren't what you like. You put your thumbs in their eyes and you try to gouge their eyes out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you shove your thumb
in their butt, in their cheek
and you fish hook them.
Yeah.
Thumb is an aggressive digit.
And when you curl it in, it means you're going to punch.
You're going to punch, yeah.
Because there's no other reason to curl your thumb in.
No, why would you curl your thumb in?
You know, I realized that... Quite a lot of photos, I put my thumb up, like I do thumbs up, and that means that I absolutely do not want to be taking that photo. And I don't know why I do that, but whenever someone's like, let's take a photo, I'm like, please. I do a thumbs up and I like do this like crazy smile.
I do the exact same thing. It's like, I don't want to try to look good.
Yeah.
So I'm going to distract all of you with my hand motion.
I'm going to make you look at my gorgeous thumb.
Yeah. And it's usually an expression of like, fuck you.
I may not be Megan Fox, but my thumb is prettier. But when I give thumbs up, most of the time when I'm texting, it's not a fuck you. It's a genuine like, okay.
It's like, got it.
But WikiHow says that we need to be really careful with thumbs up when we're texting because it could be interpreted as like whatever or like, oh, sure, whatever, or like go F yourself because I don't care enough to fight with you about this topic.
I can see that. I can see that. I think that I usually do it when it's like message received and there's nothing more to say and like, okay, move
got
on.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
Next, using single colored currency. I've never thought about this before.
Wait. So because our money is mostly like shades of green.
Yeah. All of our money is green. All of our dollar bills are green.
Yeah.
And our coins are mostly all, except silver. For the penny, they're all silver.
Yeah.
And other countries, dollar bills are all sorts of different colors.
I guess that makes sense. Is it just for easily identifying things?
Maybe. I guess.
I've never thought of that before.
Yeah. Me neither. And it doesn't, I don't think life would be any easier with multicolored bills?
No, because you can't. Here's the thing. For me,
yeah.
The only reason I can think of to have your bills wildly different from each other would be like for people who have different abilities, right? So like if you're unable to see, having like different markings on bills would be helpful.
Different
so
textures.
Different textures.
Yeah.
But like colors, I don't feel like that's going to be terribly helpful.
I never thought about somebody who is blind or is hard of sight.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Going into a store and paying for something in cash. How do you know?
I knew someone who had their bills. They had like very specific orders everything would be in.
Yeah.
So if it was like in this part of the billfold, those were ones.
Oh,
I see. If it was in this part, it was fives. Yeah. And like, you know, the cashier, whoever would tell them what they were handing them, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are other ways too, but it's like, I guess it makes the currency more visually interesting.
Paying with credit cards and phone is really a lot safer for somebody who can't see that well.
Did you ever work in the service industry?
No, okay. I never did.
It's really interesting. I always enjoyed it when people who were visiting from other countries and maybe didn't speak English super well. I loved it when they would come in.
Yeah.
Because not only was it really fun to try to figure out what kind of coffee they wanted, but it was also really fun to like help them with money because I knew that I was going to be someone that didn't screw them out of money.
Yeah. Because you're a kind human.
So like if they're giving me, if the coffee was, let's say, $9 and they would literally hold out all of their money and say, like, how much should I give you?
Yeah.
And it was really nice to have a moment where I could be like, I am not going to screw you. And I'm also going to make you feel safe. And I'm also going to teach you a little bit of like, this is what you need. This is what you don't. And they would. And I don't know. I just love those moments of total vulnerability where you're like, it goes back to what we were talking about a couple weeks ago, where it's like, realizing that you don't have to have all the answers and asking for help. Yeah. And I love that. I love it. I love when people ask for help.
You know, when people screw other people who are vulnerable, God, there is a special place in hell for them.
Totally.
You know, one place where I always check to make sure I'm not getting screwed is the gas station.
How would you get screwed at the gas station?
Okay, when I was a little kid, my mom had this big MPV minivan and it had dark windows in the back.
Yeah.
And I was back there laying down and I used to love to watch the money, like the counter on, because this is New Jersey, we don't pump our own gas. So, yeah. You know, the attendant.
There's like a law.
Yeah, there's a law.
It's real strange.
The attendant comes over and does it and you say, I want $20 cash. Should they set the machine for $20 cash, or you say fill it up cash. And once my mom said fill it up cash, and I was watching the money thing. I used to love doing that, watching all the dollars and cents go up. And the guy charged my mom like $45 when it was actually only $43. And he didn't realize that I was in the back of the car watching because there were windows.
Oh.
And my mom went back and she's like, it was only $43. My daughter in the back saw it. Give me my $2 back.
Oh my gosh.
And then like she never went to that gas station ever again. So now I have this thing where I'm paranoid where I have to turn and watch the machine to make sure. I never pay cash anyway, but like I just have to turn and watch the machine.
I never thought about that.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
It's strange, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Customizing restaurant orders.
This is very true.
So in some foreign countries that take pride in their cuisine, it's considered uncouth to request condiments that adjust the taste of your meal. Requesting a bottle of ketchup or salt that isn't already on the table will get you some major side eye from your server. If you're worried about committing a faux pas while eating out, it's not a bad idea to brush up on foreign dining etiquette before traveling abroad.
Yeah, can I have the salad but without the cilantro or without the tomatoes.
Yeah.
It's like, which I totally understand both sides of it. Because if you have like, if that's going to make the difference between you enjoying your food or like getting sick, I totally get it. But I also understand that the people who have come up with the menus have sometimes worked years on like the perfect flavor pairs and like the amounts. And there's a lot of pride in it. And having someone be like, yeah, I like this thing you've worked years on, but just like with a little bit something different that I've added. Oh, screw you.
To get some more clarity on this, I typed, is it rude, into Google. And then before I could finish, these are the things that came up. To work in a coffee shop.
No, why? It's not rude. It's a great thing to do.
To send an email at night. To wear a hat indoors.
Not after Kennedy.
To ask how someone died.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, if someone's like, my parent died. How? Like, that's not.
Oh, what if you're like, how did they pass?
No, I don't think it's appropriate. They'll tell you if they want to.
Okay.
Because what if it was like drugs and if there's some family shame?
Yeah, I get it. Is it rude to ask a plus one to a wedding?
Yes. If you're not invited to bring a plus one, a plus one is not appropriate.
But what if you have a partner that you live with and that person didn't realize?
I don't think invites are per household. I think they're per relationship.
I have a friend who told me recently her cousin asked for a plus one for his girlfriend to her wedding. He is 16 years old.
Yeah, no. Also, it's like if you're going by someone lives in my household, it's like, can I have a plus one for my boyfriend and also my friend who also lives with us?
No. And if you're a teenager, you do not get a plus one. This is not the person you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
Weddings are expensive. If a plus one is not on the invitation, you are not bringing a plus one. And if children are not invited, you are not bringing your children.
I think that there is some leeway for asking for a plus one if you're in a serious relationship and the person inviting you didn't realize.
This is where I would ask people who are also invited to the wedding.
Yeah.
And be like, what did your invitation say?
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
So going back to customizing your meal, this is what Quora said. Love Quora. Okay. Even though I think it's mostly for bros. Someone wrote in, where I work, we have a taco salad. It contains rice, beans, lettuce, meat, cheddar cheese, tomato, tortilla strips, sour cream in a tortilla shell with a side of salsa dressing.
God, I want that.
I know. It sounds real good, right? She says, when my mom orders it, she takes off the tomatoes, the rice, and the salsa and then asks for extra sour cream. It's a little finicky, but it's not horrible.
Yeah.
Here's my mom's friend Linda's order.
Linda, listen, Linda.
Taco salad, but no taco shell. Put it in a bowl instead.
Linda's counting her carbs.
Yep. No salsa, no rice, no beans, no cheddar cheese, nacho cheese instead, extra nacho cheese, jalapenos, and an additional serving of a different kind of meat, as in she wants two meats on her salad. No tortilla strips, add guacamole, add black beans, because I guess they give you pinto beans in the taco salad. Add potatoes, sour cream on the top, and then extra sour cream on the side.
Linda, you got to go to a different place to eat. Bring your own food, Linda. That's egregious.
I think that's pretty egregious.
That's awful.
And I understand people who have celiac disease, people who are sensitive to certain
foods.
Or if you really hate cilantro. And cilantro is like a widely known thing that people don't like.
But listen, Linda. Yeah. Like, and I know that reference is like a decade old. But listen, Linda. Like, it's not that Linda has a million things, because it's not like she doesn't eat meat, so she's asking for no meat. She's asking for meat and also another kind of meat, please. Yeah. Plus, it's not like she's trying to count her carbs, because she's asking for potatoes.
Yes.
So, like, what are you doing, Linda? Linda's just being the worst.
I'm trying to figure out if Linda is celiac. I don't, because she doesn't want anything to do with, no, there's no gluten in this. Maybe in the tortilla strips and maybe in the taco shell. And that's why she doesn't want it.
But do potatoes have gluten in them?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Okay, maybe she's celiac, but then she had better apologize profusely to who, because also celiac, I don't think, is that going to make the difference between pinto beans and black beans?
No.
So now she's,
That's a preference.
It's because, like, you know, I'm dating someone who not only is vegan, he also is highly allergic to milk products.
Yes.
So it's like, it's one thing to say, like, I can't, you know, can you not put whatever? But it's also like, he'll get very, very ill.
Yes.
That's different.
Yeah.
And please tell them, by the way, I will get very ill.
I am Linda when I'm ordering a Subway sandwich.
What's your order again?
Bethany, no, I can't go through it. It'll take up the rest of this podcast. But I like to watch them put on each ingredient. And then when they stop, I say more or I let them continue.
I let them
continue. I'm sorry.
Continue,
I'm sorry. I'm such an asshole.
Says the girl who's never been in the service industry. I allow them to keep making my food.
No, let is not the right word. I say the next ingredient. I'm an asshole.
I wave my hand as though to continue.
Yeah. Okay. Doggy bags. People in other countries don't understand the idea of taking something home.
Oh, they're missing out.
They are missing out. So, by the way, a lot of these items come from redbook.com. So... I should have said that at the beginning. Ooh. I'll link it in the show notes. So Redbook says, asking for a doggy bag at the end of the meal is just as gauche as asking for ketchup. It might seem terrible to let food go to waste, but many European eateries turn their nose up at the idea of taking food home. In their view, it's a health hazard and could potentially lead to food poisoning.
Oh.
But actually, in France, they made it illegal if you ask for a doggy bag for the restaurant to deny you.
You know, that's interesting because the stereotype is like the big fat American, right?
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that we're the ones who want to stop eating and take food home.
Yeah.
And it's these other countries that are like, that's weird.
Well, France is like, you know, food waste is a real thing that our planet is facing.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to tell guests that they can no longer take home doggy bags.
Yeah. And also sometimes you're full.
Yeah.
But you want to continue eating this delicious food that the restaurant has given you.
Or sometimes you're on a budget.
Yeah.
And if your friend asks you to go out to dinner with them for a meal, you get your meal, you cut it in half, and then you ask for the to-go container right away so you can put it and then you have dinner for tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're trying to stretch a penny.
Totally.
All right. Requiring a ton of ice. People in other countries don't understand our American obsession with ice.
We do love ice.
I didn't love ice as much until I had it at my disposal.
Ice is freaking wonderful.
Like when I got an ice machine last year and you and I freaked out about having ice machines in your refrigerator.
Because you get crushed ice. Kathleen, you get that old school Pizza Hut ice.
I know.
Oh,
I know.
Love crushed ice.
One consumer poll by Bosch. So let's take this with a grain of salt. They make ice machines.
Yeah, Bosch.
They said that 51% of Americans, of the 2,000 Americans that responded to their poll, define themselves as ice obsessed. So estimating that they consume up to 116 glasses of ice per month, or nearly 36 pounds, adding up to over 400 pounds of ice every year.
That feels like a flawed sort of study. Because if you say to someone, are you ice obsessed? Of course the person's going to be like, yeah. but you can't like self-report the amount of glasses of ice you drink every year.
I prefer room temperature water, plain water.
Yeah.
But when there's some sort of flavor in it, like we like liquid IV.
Yeah.
I got to have ice.
Got to have that ice.
Got to have ice.
Hell yeah.
Do you know Epicurious.com has a whole article dedicated to the history of ice in America?
We love our ice, Kathleen.
And you know I love doing the history of seemingly mundane items.
Yeah, totally.
So maybe I'll do that.
You absolutely should.
Yeah. Okay, holding a World Series for baseball. Bethany, it's not a World Series.
It's just us.
It's a marketing play. It's us and then sometimes
and
Canada has a team, all right?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Referring to ourselves simply as America. Like we're so
very
elitist.
Self-centered.
Yeah.
Because there's other parts of America.
Of course, and there's North America and South America. It's stupid. Here is something that I totally understand, paying sales tax. Because foreigners who come to the U.S. for a little bit of retail therapy, they're usually warned that prices are really not what they seem.
Yeah.
Because you get to the, you know, the counter, you pay for your stuff, and then bam, there's a bunch of sales tax tacked onto the end of your bill. And you're like, huh?
What is happening? Yeah.
That's why New Yorkers come to New Jersey to go shopping for clothes because there's less sales tax in New Jersey.
Yeah. It's a Wisconsin-Minnesota thing too. I know like in Wisconsin, we used to go to the Twin Cities to go back to school shopping because there's no sales tax.
No sales tax.
On clothing.
I'll sometimes go to certain parts of Jersey City near me because there's a lower sales tax to incentivize the economy in those neighborhoods. And
sales
I go
tax.
There just, I go to the Best Buy and the Target there just so I pay less sales tax.
Smart.
You know, the other day, my friend was throwing an event for work. Her budget was $200. So she went to this company and she's like, I can only spend $200. That is it.
Yeah.
I cannot give you any more than $200.
Yeah.
So they placed her order and then she had tax, delivery fee and tip on top of that. And she had very explicitly said to them, I can only pay $200.
Yeah.
And she had to take like $60 out of her pocket for this company event because her company would not give her any more.
It's wild.
Like, I think caterers should start asking.
Yeah, you got to fill people in on what what that total bill is going to be.
I remember when I was planning my wedding, I was like, okay, catering is going to cost the X amount, but then you have to give, you know, X amount tip at the end
of
the night.
Yep.
And there's also some like service taxes that you have to pay.
Yep.
And so it's really, the tax hit you. Where the good Lord split you.
Yeah, it's crazy. If you order, there was one time that we ordered two burgers.
Yeah.
Like two veggie burgers. Mm-hmm. One each.
Mm-hmm. How much did it?
$60.
Oh my God. Did you get fries?
No.
Did you get a drink?
It was like each burger.
Yeah.
Maybe we got fries.
Okay.
Each burger was like.
Oh my God.
$15.
Yeah.
Because it's vegan and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then you put, so that's like 30.
Yeah.
And then you put tax on top of that,
uh-huh.
plus delivery,
yeah.
plus like service fee, plus delivery fee, plus tip.
Yeah.
It added up to $60.
It makes sense to subscribe to some of these food delivery services now. You know, you pay a monthly fee. You pay $10 for Seamless or Grubhub or Uber Eats or whatever, and then you don't have to pay the service fees because if you're ordering more than twice a month, you've already paid for it if you get that $10 service.
Yay, New York.
Yay, New York.
$60 for two hamburgers.
Okay. We write the date out of order.
Yeah, we do.
Bethany, historians say that there is no reason for it.
Is it because we say in English, we say like October 24th? And so we write October 24th.
No, it has nothing to do with English because in Australia where they speak English, in England where they speak English, they write it backwards.
But do they say like the 22nd of August? 22 August.
I don't know. So this comes from news.com.au, which is an Australian news website. The historical reasons for the unusual date format in America are foggy, but there are a handful of compelling reasons. Americans inherited this practice from the United Kingdom, where it was occasionally used. And then when we became colonists, we just changed it up because we could.
Just to be contrary. Why we refuse to use the metric system just because we want to be different. We're like a 17-year-old high school student.
We are,
who's just like, you know what? I'm going to use all lowercase letters because no letters should be more important than other letters, which is definitely something I did in high school.
Absolutely. Do you know sitting in the back seat when you're getting in a cab in other countries is considered rude and elitist?
Oh, that makes sense.
But I don't want to sit in the front seat.
I'm not good with people.
No, me neither.
I think it's uncomfortable, but I totally understand it.
When I'm taking an Uber where there's four of us,
yeah.
And I always volunteer to sit in the front because I like being the hero. Because I'm a huge jerk.
It's okay. I'll take the front.
And Americans love trick-or-treating. And this really sweet thing popped up on Reddit. Someone said, I moved to the U.S. from Poland when I was 26. And when my first Halloween came around, my friends explained to me that I was too old to go trick-or-treating and it almost broke my heart.
Oh, no, you should have taken him and explained to every house this is his first
Halloween.
Oh, I would have given him so much candy.
I know. Grocery stores in other countries, they don't have the variety that we have. They think it's weird.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
I like variety.
I like variety too.
Maybe it's because I'm an American. Okay. And then we smile a lot. People are pissed that we smile a lot.
Well,
some experts think that the reason Americans are just so darn nice is because we're a nation of immigrants. I don't know. I don't find that particularly true.
I feel like I smile not enough. I've learned that the hard way.
And apparently when we smile and laugh and we show our teeth, the Japanese think we're rude.
I mean, that's definitely a cultural thing.
Yeah, they don't like showing their teeth. But Americans, you got a big toothy smile.
We pay so much for dental care.
That is true.
Pay thousands of dollars for those braces.
Yeah, well, yay America.
Yay America.
Bethany, I love to cook. You hate to cook.
Yes.
But the one thing that we can agree on is beautiful cookware and bakeware. And that is why we love being partners with Caraway, because their products are made without any toxic materials. There are no PFAS, PTFE, PFOA, or other hard to pronounce chemicals. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. And they're ceramic. So ceramic's naturally slick surface means minimal oil or butter. And you still get those slide off the pan eggs and easy cleaning. And even though I don't love to cook, I do have to cook because apparently I have to feed myself. Mm. And so I like having cookware that is nice and actually works and doesn't burn things. I had a cheap sauce pot that the handle was heavier than the pot. So if you only had a little bit of sauce in it, it would topple over and the sauce would fly everywhere. Caraway is not going to do that.
My Caraway saute pan is the one that I'm always looking for when I open up the cabinet, because cooking with it is like a day at the amusement park for my food. A turkey meatball slip and slide, one might say. I have the saucepan in the terracotta color. And the Dutch oven in the marigold. It's gorgeous.
So pretty. And I ordered the same products, but in this beautiful navy color they have. And when Dennis comes over and cooks, he's going to love them.
So we have a special offer for you. Visit carawayhome.com/ATP to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off of your next purchase.
This deal is exclusive for our listeners.
So visit carawayhome.com/ATP or use the code ATP at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
Kathleen, you know how much I hate cooking. And today I was running errands all morning. I got home. I had about 10 minutes to eat something.
Yeah.
And I realized I had Splendid Spoon in my fridge and I was beyond grateful.
You know, I think a lot about how I spend my money and the ways that I waste my money. And what I don't spend enough money on is having healthy meals that are ready for me in my fridge. I pop them in the microwave or I crack open that smoothie and I know that I'm making really good nutritional decisions for my body.
So Splendid Spoon takes the work out of eating healthy. Their meals are shipped right to your door. They are ready to eat. All you have to do is lift one finger to press start on your microwave. They fit into any schedule. There's a meal plan for everyone and it's customizable. So you're going to get what you want every time.
They've got plenty of smoothies, grain bowls, soup bowls, and noodle bowls for you to discover. I am dying to try the cauliflower tikka soup.
I had their vegan meatball and marinara for lunch today. Oh my gosh, it tastes delicious.
And right now I'm sipping on this raspberry cacao smoothie and I just turned it over and wow, I'm getting a lot of protein right now.
So every single meal is 100% plant-based and gluten-free and always made with plenty of vegetables, legumes, healthy fats, whole grains, and spices from all over the world.
I always feel better when I'm eating a plant-based diet. And with over 50 choices and a constantly rotating menu, there are always always new dishes to try.
So give it a shot for yourself. Try Splendid Spoon today and take meal planning off your plate.
Just go to splendidspoon.com/taste for $50 off of your first box when you subscribe to Breakfast, Lunch, and the Reset Plan, or Breakfast, Lunch, Dinner, and the Reset Plan.
That's splendidspoon.com/taste for $50 off. So one of my favorite things, Kathleen, is going to used bookstores and looking in their occult section.
Yeah.
Because it's just books that people have given away when they found them in their strange uncle's, like, bookshelf.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gotten so many cool books. I've gotten, like, The Secrets of Nostradamus.
Oh.
Thick book.
Oh, God. Nostradamus has a lot of secrets.
He had a lot of secrets.
Apparently.
He told them all. I've gotten, like, books, you know, I saw an alien. I've gotten books where it's, like, the Society for Psychical Research is, like, official volume 6 of evidence of, like, past life regressions. Just the coolest stuff. Also, I got The Master Key to Occult Secrets by a guy who's not real.
The Master Key.
He says, a study of the survival of primitive customs in a modern world with sources and origins.
Can you imagine whomever used this ghost name to write this book was a serious writer?
Yeah.
And he's like, God, man, I got to write this crazy occult book to keep food on the table. But, like, really, it's my passion to write the next great American novel.
Totally. Well, mm-hmm. It's interesting. So they don't know who this guy actually is. His name is Henry or Henri Gamache.
Okay.
This was the pseudonym of an otherwise unknown author who was active in the United States during the 1940s and who wrote on the subject of magic. This was what he wrote. This book is from 1983, I believe.
Do they have any guesses as to who it is?
They do.
Oh.
They do. This book was written, 1983 in the Bronx, New York.
Oh.
In the 1950s, a publisher named Joseph W.K., we'll call Joe, claimed he was Gamache. Now, people dispute this because he also claimed he was this other author who had used a pseudonym, but that claim was easily debunked because it was proven that Joe had just acquired the publishing rights to this book, but originally someone else had, like, had it and wrote it. So people didn't believe that. So they also didn't believe this new claim.
Yeah.
There is another gentleman whose first name was lost to history.
Huh.
We only know him as Mr. Young.
Okay.
He was the confirmed ghostwriter of the autobiography of famous black stage magician Benjamin Rucker, who also went by Black Herman on stage.
Okay.
So it's also believed that Mr. Young was Henri or Henry.
Oh, I see.
So then in 2013, Joe, our friend Joe, his son Ed did an interview in which he said that he remembered Gamache being a, quote, young, college-educated Jewish woman who worked for my father and wrote books for him. We don't know if there's any corroborating evidence on this, but most people think that it is this Mr. Young. The interesting thing, too, about this is that this author writes from a perspective of, like, Africa, knowing a lot about African cultures, or saying he knows a lot about African cultures. There's some weirdness that goes into that.
Okay.
This author, whoever he ended up being, there were some connections to not great politics that he was found to have. So I am largely going to steer clear of, like, the more African traditions and really speak to the ones that are closer to heritage I can understand and speak to.
Gotcha.
And, like, try to mitigate any risk of just saying, like, oh, this group of people believed these things and let's point at them.
Everybody in Africa thinks that rainbows are made of chocolate.
Right. I don't, you know, I'm not educated enough and this guy is mysterious enough that we don't know enough about.
Yeah.
So I'm just reading this book.
Okay.
And I'm going to read to you some of what this book is. So he calls the different entries treatises. So all of these different secrets or traditions or, like, magic potions, he calls them treatises, which I'm going to start calling all of my choices in life
treatises.
Yeah. This is called Taking Off the Ghost.
Oh.
So this is from page 13. This concerns a condition similar to that professed by some inhabitants of rural Pennsylvania, West Virginia, and Tennessee, and which they refer to as a hex or a jinx. So He says, here in the United States, we are familiar with the condition some people refer to as a hex. Do you know what a hex is?
Yeah, someone put a hex on you.
Yeah.
Sort of like how when you walk by a mirror, yeah. it breaks.
It breaks every time.
I think I have a hex on me.
Did you, every time you walk by a mirror, it breaks?
Nope. Every time I walk by a wine glass, it breaks.
Shut up.
Bethany, I have broken at least since last year, 20 wine glasses.
They just explode all of a sudden?
It's just weird stuff happens and I break all my wine glasses.
Like you drop them?
No. Yesterday, the cumin fell out of the cabinet into the wine glass and shattered it.
That's crazy.
I shit you not. I just break wine glasses all the time.
That's
my hex.
That's wild.
Anyway, continue.
You've been hexed.
I have, yeah.
Who's mad at you?
The wine industry for not drinking as much as I used to.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so he says, under some conditions, the party in question is under the impression that someone or something is the cause of all of his or her misfortune.
Uh-huh.
Then he talks about this woman in Kingston, Jamaica, mm-hmm. in the West Indies. Mm-hmm. He said she used the following method to, quote, take off the ghost, and that she would charge $125 in U.S. currency to do this.
Hmm.
She would say, pour some West Indian rum into a glass and allow that to remain on a cleared table overnight.
Hmm.
This would allow the ghost, quote unquote, to partake of the offering.
Okay.
In the morning, whatever remained in the glass were drunk by the person.
Yeah.
The face and the head were then anointed with uncrossing oil. Do you know, have you ever heard of uncrossing oil?
No, it's uncrossing oil.
It is oil that is believed to remove negative energy or negative influences.
Can you imagine getting a gift bag and someone's like, oh, and by the way, here's some uncrossing oil.
Yeah.
I think that you need it.
You need it. Can I tell you, Kathleen, where I found not only the definition of uncrossing oil, but uncrossing oil itself?
Wait, what is in uncrossing oil? Please tell me.
It's different oils.
Okay.
You can get them like made for you.
Did you find them at the store in your neighborhood? Woo woo, Divine Sisterhood, Child Moon?
Nope. I found it on, you have three guesses what bizarre website you would not expect this to be on that I found it on.
Forever 21.
No. More bizarre.
More bizarre. Barnes & Noble.
Close. More bizarre. What if you were in the 1990s needing to buy a Whirlpool dishwasher?
Sears.com?
Sears.com/Wicca-1oz-uncrossing-oil/P-AO988-47349 is where you can buy your uncrossing oil at Sears.
Well, I can't believe Sears.com still exists. I thought it shut down.
I was floored. I thought maybe someone had squatted on the Sears, but no, because you can also get a Whirlpool.
Yeah, you can. You know what? My parents always bought all of their appliances at Sears.
Sure.
Always.
I worked at Sears. It was my first job. They fired me after 2 weeks. So you take some uncrossing oil, you anoint yourself with it. Then you put a little uncrossing powder in the palm of the hand.
Naturally.
You hold it on the level of your mouth. Mm. You then blow the powder to the north, south, east, and west. The powder blowing, which is very common in the West Indies, is said by those who use this ritual to purify the room and to rid it of all evil or any unsavory presence.
Oh.
Then, and this is pretty common in a lot of things that you read, like ritual-wise, you burn a pure white candle. You also burn the drippings, if any remain, and that should help get rid of that hex.
Interesting. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, this is woo-woo. I think that sometimes just doing these things brings peace to your mind.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that it helps you feel like, because so many times if something has happened to you, you feel like there is nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. You feel powerless. And like, what actions can I take?
Yeah.
And you feel like you need to do something.
There's no hex doctor.
No. And I feel like oftentimes doing these gives you a sense of agency and gives you some power again.
Yeah, I get that.
And maybe it works for real. Yeah. Maybe it works because you believe it works. But look, again, I'm down for this.
The power of thought.
This is treatise number 8.
Okay.
A ritual used by Greek women to keep a lover faithful.
Ooh.
This, I found so many of these, keeping your lover faithful or making someone fall in love with you across so many cultures.
So funny.
It's great. So there was a certain maiden of Kos who laid a fire spell against a neglectful lover who had spurned her affections. This is what she did.
Mm.
Kathleen, if a lover is spurning your affections, what do you do?
What does spurning mean? Like
turning them away.
Got it. Okay, thanks.
When you go to Starbucks and you order a Whopper value meal, They spurn your order.
You don't get that kind of meat here. Exactly. We only have Beyond meat.
Yeah, we don't have the meats. We have the Beyond meats. So she takes a little barley meal. Mm-hmm. She sprinkled it over a small piece of charcoal, which was burning in like an earthen vessel. It's like burning in a pot or something.
Got it.
So that barley meal then burns away. Mm-hmm. When that happens, she takes a little bay leaf, which we recently learned is not poisonous, mm-hmm. pulverized it, and then sprinkled that over the burning charcoal.
Okay.
Then she took a little wax image that she has molded into the shape of a human, maybe kind of like the human she's thinking about.
Okay.
Burns this. Then she sprinkles some bran over all of this. Like lets that burn.
The cereal?
I think so. No. I don't think it's the character from Game of Thrones.
Is it Fiber One?
It's probably Fiber One. Fifth, she takes a small piece of cloth torn from her lover's wearing apparel. Oh. So she rips a piece of his shirt.
That's like trying to clip somebody's hair when they're not looking.
Which I've done.
No, you haven't.
When I was a little baby goth and I was, I think a sophomore, uh-huh. there was a foreign exchange student from Brazil who I had a real big crush on. And a bunch of us were driving in a car and I clipped a little bit of the back of his hair without him knowing. And I did put it in a satchel and I did do a spell and no, it didn't work. Thanks for asking.
You're welcome.
Okay, so then she takes that cloth, burns that. Mm-hmm. Then she burns some sweet herbs like basil, sandalwood, myrtle leaves, mm-hmm. pulverized and burned those.
Got it.
Usually, this ritual was accompanied by an incantation or an invocation where the woman, you know, expresses her hope that the lover will remain with her and he won't let his eyes wander, et cetera, et cetera. So when all of those items have been consumed by flames, the ashes were then gathered together and mixed with a little vegetable oil.
Oh, God.
Whatever you have.
Oh, God.
Until it forms a thick clay-like substance.
Okay.
This was then allowed to harden it till it became something like a crayon.
Oh, okay. Good. Okay. So no one's going to eat it.
No one's consuming it.
Thank God. I was really worried there for a second.
No, it's fine. Okay. So then the crayon was rubbed upon the clothing of the lover or upon the skin of the lover.
Okay.
And it was believed that he would forever be faithful because, quote, her mark was on him.
I get that.
Here's my question for you, Kathleen.
Yeah.
How do you explain to your lover why you're drawing on him with crayon?
Well, I mean, ancient times, that's much harder. Now it's anything. Hey, I saw this on TikTok.
Yeah.
Let me see if it removes your mole.
Totally. Yeah. Yes.
Or, hey, is your back hurting again? Because I made this homemade salve.
I love the word salve.
Which I found on TikTok.
There's no way to say salve and not sound just disgusting. Disgusting,
I know.
This is interesting. This goes to also clothing.
Okay.
So if there's someone that you're concerned about, let's say you have a lover who is going to battle. Mm. His brother has said he demands satisfaction and they are going to duel at dawn.
Gotcha.
You want to protect your lover.
Yes.
Here's what you do. This dates back to the Old Testament days,
oh.
according to our friend.
Okay. Occult.
Yeah. So this is Treatise 18. According to Treatise 17, which we didn't read but was one before, there is the practice of carrying a piece of cloth torn from the garment of some dearly departed friend or loved one. This piece of cloth is either sewn to the lining of one's garment or carried in a small bag about one's neck.
Gotcha.
Here's the thing. It is never cut. You want to tear it. It's like the perineum. You never want to cut. Isn't that the part? Isn't that
the part underneath a man's ball sack before his anus?
Oh, what's the part in the woman?
Comes up.
What's the part in the woman that you don't want to have to do an episiotomy?
The taint?
Yeah, you don't want it to be cut. You want it to tear naturally.
That's right. Yeah, when you're giving birth.
Yeah. The symbolism of this custom lies in the fact that the spirit of the dearly departed will protect a wearer from all harm. So you don't want to cut that connection. You want to tear it. It's a mark of respect for the departed and a symbol of undying devotion and love.
More natural.
Yeah. I love that. They think that it comes from the fact that it was customary among the quote unquote ancients to rend or tear the clothes of someone who passed away and throw dust upon them as a way of expressing sorrow and grief, which I also think is lovely.
That is lovely. I feel like I'm going to cry.
I think there's something really beautiful.
Yeah.
Again, like grief is such a hard thing.
Yeah, it is.
Sometimes it's wonderful to have like a visceral, physical expression of your grief.
Yes.
And to tear their clothing and to throw dirt and to cry and to show your sadness. I think is really powerful and really beautiful.
It is sweet. You know, my family has this thing, which I didn't think was weird up until now, where when anything good happens to us, we always look up and we say, thanks, Annie, because Annie was my grandma.
Oh, I love that.
But particularly when it comes to getting a good parking spot.
Annie is the family patron saint of parking.
Yes, she is. And like whenever anyone in the family is doing circles around a parking lot, we start talking to Annie because we need her help. I'm like, we're like, okay, Annie, like now we need you right now. Like find us a good spot. And Bethany, very few times has Annie let me down.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. That's really, really funny. Yeah. I'm going to start praying to Annie. Do you think she'll listen?
Listen, my grandmother was one step away from God. You know, 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. Grandma was 1 degree from God.
That's bless Annie. Annie, thanks. Then he has this awesome part where he goes through a list where he says strange customs gathered from all the world and followed by people who have testified to their value for various purposes.
Ooh, I love testaments that verify weird occult things.
Totally. So this is Treatise 57. A tooth, when extracted, is always thrown over the house or carried in a small pouch or bag. This is to prevent other teeth from aching.
Oh.
And some people burn the teeth for the same reason.
Can you burn a tooth?
I think that it has to be pretty hot.
I mean, where, do you have a kiln in your garage? Like, what's going on?
Because you have to burn it and then, like, pulverize it.
Speaking of which, I looked up kilns on Amazon the other day because I want to buy one.
Sure. How much are they?
Well, the cheapies are $500.
So. Yeah, okay. I've never made that noise before. Where that came from.
I like it.
All right, treatise number 60. In some southern part, or in some parts of the southern states, two horse chestnuts or Buckeyes. OHIO, go Buckeyes.
What is a Buckeye? I don't even know.
I think it's a.
Is it a nut?
I think it's a nut.
Okay.
It's also a delicious chocolatey treat.
Yeah, I know that. Things from Ohio.
Yeah. With like peanut butter in
it,
right?
Yeah. All right.
So two Buckeyes are obtained. And holes are drilled through each one. Then what you do is you take a hemp cord. I think really any kind of string at this point.
No, it's got to be natural hemp
cord. Natural hemp cord, 2 feet long.
Okay.
The nuts are secured to either end of the cord with the knots. Pull your mind out of the gutter.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the person concerned grasps the cord in the exact center.
Yeah.
Twirls the cord above his head like a helicopter until the nuts are swinging in a straight line.
Okay.
When momentum has been gathered, he lets go. The object is to throw the two nuts into a high tree.
Okay.
And it is believed that as long as the nuts remain hanging in that tree, good fortune will follow.
I like that.
I think that's great.
That's really fun.
Yeah. Okay. Kathleen, are you suffering from rheumatism? Say yes.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. So.
It hurts so bad.
Yep. He says people suffering from rheumatism in widely separated sections of the U.S.
What is rheumatism? Is it when you don't clean your room enough?
It's not that. Kathleen, I know. But I am going to just look it up.
So I know.
So that you know.
Yes.
I'm going to just type in my password. Definitely typed it in the right way each time.
Yep.
Rheumatism. Rheumatism.
When you don't clean your room enough and then you have to christen it rheumatism after you clean it.
Yep.
After a very long time.
That and any disease marked by inflammation and pain in the joints, muscles, or fibrous tissues, especially rheumatoid arthritis.
Oh, I was going to say it sounded like rheumatoid arthritis.
Yeah. So if you have a touch of the rheumatism.
Gotcha.
So this is interesting. People he says widely separated sections of the U.S. have all come to the same conclusion, which is interesting when that happens.
I mean, rheumatism sounds just like general malaise.
It's just like pain. You have pain, like inflammation pain. They've all decided that there is a value in carrying a potato.
Oh.
That's why I love when like these separated areas yeah. all landed upon this thing.
That's cool.
So it says a small raw potato about the size of a walnut. It's a small.
So yeah, a little baby potato. Yeah, those are delicious.
So small. Carried in the hip pocket or in a small cloth bag over the affected parts, whatever hurts you.
Oh.
The author has personally seen such potatoes, which have been carried for years and have become as hard and shiny and smooth as a stone. If you're
possible?
A listener of And That's Why We Drink, it sounds a lot like lemon.
Oh.
Hard as a stone at this point.
Hard as a stone, yeah.
Let's see. Charm bags.
Oh, tell me about charm bags.
Many people, this is Treatise 63 if okay. you're curious.
Thank you.
Many people carry so-called charm bags about their necks. Although this is the common custom in this country, it's not the preferred manner. According to his research, as he says, the ancient method was to carry it attached to the belt around your waist or on a long cord suspended from the shoulder so that the bag rested under the armpit.
Oh, I get it. I carry a charm.
Once, same year that I was trying to put love spells on a Brazilian exchange student, I had a crush on this boy named Chris.
Yeah.
And Chris definitely carried a cloth velvet satchel around his neck. Don't know what was in it.
Oh, yeah. He was a culty.
He was definitely... Yeah, he was a culty.
No wonder you liked him.
I liked him a lot. Uh-huh. Treatises 97 to 100. These are methods used in various parts of the world to get rid of love, to break up a love affair, etc.
Oh, so like if you know your best friend's being cheated on by her husband.
Yeah, or if your best friend's dating a hottie and you want that hottie for you.
Yeah, then you want to break them up.
Yeah. So in Slovakia.
Yes. Oh, that's where I'm from.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm from Slovakia.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I mean, I usually say Russian because borders back then were a little bit lucid.
Loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
In Slovakia, a man who has been jilted will mix some nail pairings. I think that means like nail clippings.
Okay.
Some of his hairs or other parts of his body with a piece of his former love's bridal garland.
Oh.
And her husband will hate her.
Oh.
If a woman is jilted, the same procedure is followed.
Okay.
Okay.
Nail pairings.
In Macedonia, if a husband conceives a love for another woman, the wife endeavors to secure the nail pairings, a few hairs, or some other bodily parts from that woman.
Yeah.
These are mixed with a strong fumigating incense, and the husband's clothes are fumigated in the smoke. He will then conceive a bitter, even repugnant feeling for the other woman.
Or you could also just get like skunk spray in a bottle and spray his clothes.
Yeah, that'll do it too.
I love these traditions.
Yep, I love them.
I want to start making up traditions so that when I have a family, my kids are raised with like, I don't know, throwing chestnuts or
totally
or buckeyes over trees and ripping off clothing of dead loved ones and sewing it into everything they own.
If your kid has a crush on a kid who's not a good one, you're like, that's a ne'er-do-well. We need to rub some sort of poultice or salve all over him.
Yeah, yeah, salve. Yeah. All the salves.
Lastly, in Oldenburg.
Yes.
Which I know where that is.
Yes, you do.
And I know you know where that
that's
is.
That's why you're typing "Where is Oldenburg?" into Google right now with your eyebrows raised real high like you're trying to...
typing Oldenburg. So
trying to hide something.
We both know that that's a city in Germany.
Oh, yes. Okay, of course.
You knew that.
Naturally.
I knew that. Mm-hmm. In Oldenburg, the bones of a frog are dried out and then reduced to powder. This is then mixed with food or drink.
Oh, no.
The person who drinks or eats this will have their ardor dampened.
Ardor.
So they will no longer be in love with the person they're in love with. They will no longer feel lusty feelings in their down belows for this other person.
I see.
They'll probably come back to you.
Yes. And also they will have ingested collagen.
Yes.
Which is good for them.
So they're going to come back to you looking real nice.
Okay. The problem is, where do I get a frog that has only bones left?
I think you have to swamp.
Oh.
Fine.
I don't want to go to the swamp. I don't like mosquitoes.
I don't know. I think you're screwed then. I think your lover's ardor will always be askance.
What's the spell for not being bitten by mosquitoes? Let's do this.
No such thing. You're screwed.
I've been off my shaving game for the winter.
Yeah.
But with warmer weather and summer right around the corner, I can't wait to get back into my regular routine. That first shave after letting your hair grow for a while is always so satisfying.
Exactly.
And in the summer when I'm shaving all the time, it's important to me that I have a razor that's uncomplicated and it's gentle on my skin. That's why we love the Athena Club razor. It's hands down the best razor that we've ever used. It leaves my skin moisturized, super smooth, and bump free.
That's why we love Athena Club. Their razor is designed with built-in skin guards to help prevent razor burn. You can go over your knee, which always makes me gasp. And also, their razor blade is surrounded by a water-activated serum with shea butter and hyaluronic acid, which is a holy grail for skincare. And the razor kit is only $9, and it comes with two blade heads, a magnetic hook for shower storage, and your choice of handle color.
Oh man, they have 6 color options. So really, the world is your oyster when it comes to your razor.
Yeah, if you're like Kathleen and you love color, you can get color. I have the blue because I went out of my comfort zone, but they do have black and white too.
I have the pink one. And you know, one of my favorite products from Athena Club is their Cloud Shave Foam Cream. I was totally a shave with soap and water type girl before I met Athena Club, and their Cloud Shave Foam Cream is the perfect accoutrement to smooth legs and a high quality razor.
Absolutely. Everything Athena Club has is so wonderful. So show your skin you care with the Athena Club Razor Kit. Sign up today and you'll get 20% off your first order.
Just go to athenaclub.com and use the promo code TASTE.
That's athenaclub.com with the promo code TASTE for 20% off.
So we've talked about squatters on this podcast before.
Yeah. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
But often the law is on your side.
So recently in Fairfax, Virginia, a home was put up for sale. And this is what the listing said. The listing was for a 5-bedroom, 4-bathroom house. So pretty big, right?
5-bedroom, 4 bathrooms. Yes.
Yes.
Just the right amount of bathrooms.
Yeah, just the right. And it said that there was no access to see the basement, no access to the lower level. So you had to buy the house without seeing the basement. The reason for this is because they have a squatter in the basement.
Who refuses to leave, obviously.
Who refuses to leave.
Did they say that in the listing, we have a squatter?
Nope.
They just said you can't see the basement.
They just said you can't see the basement. So anyway, people who are interested in that house, like, knew, you know, that there's a squatter. They just didn't want to write that online.
Oh, so they would tell the interested parties. Yeah. Gotcha.
With a squatter, Bethany, this house still sold an all cash offer for $805,000.
That is the housing market in a nutshell.
I know.
You not only are you not able to see the basement,
no.
Often one of the most important places, I would guess, because you're going to see a lot of like damage, leaking.
That's where your pipes are.
That's where your pipes
are. Crack in the foundation.
Absolutely.
Your hot water heater?
They also, exactly. They also had a man there and they still, there were probably a bunch of, my mother just bought a house.
Yeah.
And the amount of offers they put on homes that were like already snapped up by the time the offers were made.
Yep.
It's crazy out there right now to try and buy a house. Of course, there's a man living in the home and it still got sold.
My best friend is selling her house for more than double what she paid for it 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, I'll go move back in with my parents
Absolutely.
To make, you know, double my money.
So what do you do with the squatter?
I don't know.
Let's look this up. How to handle a squatter.
And listen, Bethany and I do not take homelessness.
Of course not.
In jest, it is a very serious issue, especially in America.
Look, he's been sold with the house.
He's been sold with the house.
I would say he's a nice guy. Yeah.
There's a difference between it being its own separate apartment.
Yeah.
And somebody not wanting to move. Or is it just like somebody found a window that was open in your basement and moved in?
And moved in. Look, if you are in a homeless position and you find an empty house, I would do the same thing.
Yeah.
Move in.
You have to take care of yourself, obviously.
Of course. I mean, and like, look, if they're asking you to leave and you're not in a position to leave, I would hope that like kindness would be used, and they're not going to just like kick this man out or person out. But you also then have the squatters like my old neighbor who just was contrary.
Yeah.
And so just didn't want to move out. Mm-hmm. He had tons of money.
He was a legal tenant at one point.
Yeah. He just decided, well, I'm not going to pay rent anymore. And what are you going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's a difference between a really nice building on the Upper West Side of New York City than someone's basement in Fairfax, Virginia.
Exactly. So this says that, let's see, this is a learn.roofstock.com.
Yeah.
They're going through how it's different
in every state.
Yeah. This is how squatting happens, they say. Someone who breaks into a vacant property and starts living there, like a rental property being renovated or made ready for a new tenant with utilities fully turned on.
Yeah.
There's an authorized roommate or illegal subtenant who refuses to leave once the lease comes to an end.
I see.
Or there's an honest person who responded to a rental scam and signed a lease with a fake landlord to live in your rental property. I've heard of that happening.
Oh, you know, in that case, I might be a squatter. If I paid all this money, say you pay a year in advance worth of rent, because that's what scammers try to get from you.
Of course.
Or 6 months.
Yep.
And you move in and then all of a sudden the owner shows up and is like, why are you living here?
Yep.
I might refuse to leave.
Absolutely.
Right?
I heard a story once about this person who moved into their new home, started hearing noises, and realized that there was a family in the basement who thought that they were legally renting a basement unit.
Oh my God.
And they had just been totally scammed. It wasn't their fault. They have so many rights. Squatters can claim the right of adverse possession to gain legal title to your property if you don't object to their presence.
Yeah.
You have to evict them. You have to call local police. You have to serve them with formal eviction notices.
Yeah.
You have to file a lawsuit if they refuse to leave. You have to remove any possessions. It's so expensive. Mm. They say what not to do. Do not put padlocks on the doors or change the locks.
Why? It's your property.
They say the same general guidelines that apply to evicting a tenant who doesn't pay the rent also applies to squatters. I think it's so that you don't potentially harm them. Let's say someone is squatting and it is the winter time.
Yeah.
And you put a padlock on the door.
Yeah, they
and this
die.
Person freezes.
Yeah.
Now you are part of their death.
Is it involuntary manslaughter?
Right. So put padlocks. So don't put padlocks on the doors or change
or
the locks.
Only put padlocks in the summertime.
I'm not going to say that. They say don't shut off the utilities in an attempt to make the property uninhabitable. Do not attempt to intimidate them in any way. Do not gather a group of, quote, friends and attempt to remove the squatter on your own.
You mean I can't walk over with my baseball bat, like slapping it in my hand?
They say no.
Man, you know, that makes me mad, but I don't know. I mean, I see both sides. I don't know what the answer is.
Of course. No, I don't know anything.
I don't know.
I don't know anything, Kathleen.
I do know that people who drink wine from California wineries may soon start getting bottles that taste like wildfire.
Oh my gosh.
I know.
Because it's been going on that long and the grapes are absorbing it?
Yeah, it's in the soil now. The soil is ash.
Wow.
I know.
Are they going to, similar to brown diamonds that smartly the diamond industry branded them as chocolate diamonds when they're just like super impure diamonds, which is fine. They're very pretty.
Yeah.
Do you think they're going to spin it as like a smoky wine, like, you know, like a smoky whiskey, a smoky scotch?
Oh, maybe. Actually, that's kind of genius marketing, Bethany.
I feel like they might.
You need to call someone up with that idea.
I will. I'll call someone.
So it's in New York Magazine this week, when smoke gets in your wine.
Yeah.
And they're saying that growers, vintners, and scientists are scrambling to protect California's prized Napa Cab because there is a smoky aftertaste.
I think it might taste good if it wasn't so sad.
Yeah.
Like if you didn't know that it's because the West Coast is burning.
Yeah.
It was just like, oh, this is an interesting aftertaste.
It's all made from grapes harvested after the glass fire, a blaze that tore through Napa, burning almost 68,000 acres and turning the sky orange.
Which is the one that started from a gender reveal party gone wrong.
I know, God.
Which one was that?
I want to ban showers of the wedding kind and the baby kind, and also gender reveal parties.
Yeah.
I no longer want to attend any of them.
This is from 2020. Gender reveal party is blamed in California wildfire. This is the New York Times. It's the El Dorado fire.
Oh, okay.
As a family was using a pyrotechnic device to announce the gender of a new baby.
Good Lord. I saw someone yesterday, there was a gender reveal where they farted out the color.
Is that video of two women? I think that's fake.
I don't know.
I think that's fake.
I don't
know.
I asked Alexa what the weather was this morning, as I do every morning, and she said in New Jersey it was a fire, some sort of fire day. Fire alert. Something or other.
Jersey's having a fire day.
I mean, I guess it's that time of the year. I mean, we haven't gotten a lot of rain in a while, so maybe everything's dry.
I think, as Grandma said, good rain will dry it all up. Kathleen, what did you learn this week?
So I learned, you know how sometimes people post photos of keys when they get a new apartment or they buy a home?
Yep.
Keep your thumb over the part of the key with all the little nooks and crannies because someone can legitimately take a picture of that key, just a photo image, and copy the key and enter your home.
This is, Kathleen, so validating.
Yeah.
Because I have like a crazy sense of privacy and paranoia about my privacy.
Yeah.
And I have never posted photos of keys. Like anytime someone's like, these are the things in my purse when we would like make tableaus and take pictures. And sometimes you have like a fun keychain. I always hid my keys because I was like, I bet someone could do that.
Your paranoia was spot on.
Yes.
Spot on. Don't do it. Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned the definition of a moral panic.
Oh.
And this is so interesting because it makes you look at our current times with a new lens.
Okay.
So a moral panic, this is from simplypsychology.org.
Yeah.
Moral panic is defined as a public mass movement based on false or exaggerated perceptions or information that exceeds the actual threat to society.
Okay.
So, for example, in the 80s, the satanic panic was a moral panic. Everyone thought that Satanists were in charge of all the killings.
They were coming,
Rock musicians were putting satanic messages, backmasking them in their music. All of this satanic panic. Looking back, you can see that was a moral panic.
I see.
And once you learn the definition, you're able to be like, I wonder if our current times are a moral panic.
Yes.
It just makes you see everything in just a different viewpoint.
Do you think that scientists or just society in general will look back at us wearing masks during the pandemic and maybe it'll come out that they really didn't make all that much difference and say that it was a moral panic?
No, because the same thing happened during the Spanish flu.
Okay.
And people were wearing masks and some people were saying don't wear masks.
Got it.
This is literally history repeating itself.
Yeah.
So, but I do think there's a lot of beliefs that will be seen as moral panics.
Oh.
I won't say which ones.
Wait, what?
Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At Webgirl Kathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also find our show on social media.
Yes. If you want to follow us on Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group.
On Twitter, at Acquired Podcast.
On Instagram, Acquired Taste Podcast.
You can send us an email, hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
We also have a snail mail address, and that is Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode. That number is 917-994-0353.
And these are our Patreon dates for May. By the way, we had a live show this week, and it was so much fun.
Such a blast.
And Bethany, now you have a whole team of people searching for an antique wiener dog statue for you.
That my grandma used to have and then she gave it away.
So don't miss out on the fun. We really have so much. We have so many good laughs on our live shows. So our schedule for Patreon this month is as follows. We have Study Buds on May 4th and a live show on May 17th, another one on the 25th. We have Book Club on the 31st, which gives you time to read the book during Memorial Day weekend holiday. And then at some point during the month, we're also going to have an informal book club for a quick YA read.
So absolutely.
Join at patreon.com/acquiredtaste.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis C-A-H-L-O. And as this comes out, we now have two episodes out of Dennis's and my bonus podcast, The Check-In, that is already on your Acquired Taste feed. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath. And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hi, ladies. I am calling because I've heard about the herpes topic. topic that you talked about. I heard the person who wrote in about it, about having it, and I wanted to call in too and say that I have herpes as well, and I was one of those unfortunate people that I'm just so glad you're talking about it, because when I was young, when I was 17, it was my first boyfriend, and he gave me herpes from his mouth. And at that point, I had no idea that that was even possible, or that he even had cold sores to begin with. That was not something that he really shared with me, nor that I would have even cared about much, knowing that he had cold sores, I guess. But at the time, he didn't even have a cold sore. It came up like a day later. And so that's how I got herpes, from my very first boyfriend when I was 17 years old. So I just wanted to say, I think it's really more common than people think. And I think the stigma should really stop at this point. But in any case, I love you ladies. And I just wanted to call and share my story too, and know that there's lots of people out there with it. All right. I'll talk to you guys later. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Hey ladies. So Michelle from New Jersey, you guys were just talking about, you know, like living in the middle of the country and like having the windows open. Well, long story short, my neighbors down the road, the one kid murdered a woman down the road, and then the cops found him hiding in my woods. So keep in mind, like, my windows are open, and there was just the murderer living in my woods the whole entire time. Terrifying, right? Did that change me, like, closing the windows when I sleep? Absolutely not. He actually ended up gouging his own eyeballs out in jail to plead insanity. So yeah, just thinking about it. Again, will I close my windows? No. Will I lock my doors? Probably not. But yeah, a murder in the woods. Thanks, ladies. Have an awesome day.
Hi, Bethany, Kathleen, this is Blair. I was just calling because I heard you talking about your friend packing up, sell her house, and how she doesn't need stuff. And we actually just sold our condo, and we're staying with my mom till our house is ready. And I have, like, probably a tenth of my clothing. And it's a little bit light. I wish I had some more stuff because I keep wearing the same thing. But honestly, I could get by for the most part the way it is. And that's sickening because I have, like, 8 garment boxes and my dresser is totally full in storage. So just keep that in mind. If you ever want to clean your dresser out, you probably don't need 90% of it. Have a good day.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Christian just giving you a call. Just listening to the latest podcast. And when Kathleen was mentioning Neil getting that weird text message from somebody who's pretending to be his boss, as soon as she said that, I was just like, it's a scam. I actually work in the fraud department for a bank, and so it's something that's very common. Then lately I've been getting a lot of notifications about people who are calling about SIM swapping. So that's also another thing that does happen, where somebody's number can actually be stolen and creates havoc. Let's just say that. It's just insane. But anyway, when you said that, I was just like, oh my gosh, I know what that is. The other thing, though, is when Bethany mentioned the type of medication she's on, it's the same one I'm on. And the reason why I got onto it was because you guys, because mental health was something that I wasn't taking too seriously before, but then you guys just took the stigma away, and it made me realize I need to talk to my doctor, need to talk to my therapist, and yeah, so I'm on that as well, and I have to say it's helped me out a lot, so I love you girls for that. Anyway, just thought I'd drop that. Bye. Love y'all. Bye.
Hey, ladies. This is Ingrid from Charlotte. Long-time listener. I've called a couple of times already. I was just listening to the episode where Bethany mentioned that her coffee creamer was stopped through the TSA checkpoint because she thought they thought it was cocaine, but actually, it might have been flagged to be checked over for explosives. My husband used to work for TSA, and so he taught me a lot of the things of what TSA looks for in your luggage. They don't give a hoot about your drugs. They're looking for weapons, explosives, anything that will damage the plane and its passengers. So just a little tip. You can do whatever you want with your drugs through TSA, just as long as it's not attached to a water bottle or something that shows up organic in the x-ray, and they might think it might be a block of explosives or some type of powder form of explosives. So yeah, they were checking to see if it was powder for explosions. Anyway, have a good day, ladies. Talk to you later.
We'll be right back. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Lowe's knows July 4th savings are worth celebrating. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances and get an additional 10% off two or more select major appliances. Plus, get three Scotts Naturescapes 1.5 cubic foot mulch bags for just $10. These deals are coming in hot. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 7/9. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details. Excludes Alaska and Hawaii.